Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast, and I am Tom Appel. Thank you for joining us today. When you have a chance, check us out at consumerguide.com. You know the drill. Check out our Best Buy picks, read my new car reviews, and fun stuff too. You know what I did, Jill?
What did you do?
What a waste of time. But it's awesome. No one's going to read it, but it's awesome. For my favorite car ads, the 1983 Chrysler Fifth Avenue ad celebrating Chrysler's presence at the 1983 Miss Universe pageant in St. Louis. It is a terrible newspaper ad. It looks like high school kids did it. It's all clip art. Fabulous.
Is Ricardo Montalban in it?
No. No, he should have been. Because this was 1 year after Wrath of Khan.
Got it.
So he should have been in it.
Yes.
I don't know. If you have that asset,
why don't you use it?
Yeah. That voice is Jill Simonillo. She is contributing editor here at Consumer Guide, prolific freelancer and North American Car of the Year juror. And Jill, do you know what we're celebrating today?
I do.
300 freaking episodes.
300 freaking episodes.
Most of which I sat here with you.
Yeah, that is correct.
So bonus patience award for me.
Or me.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Both of us.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
We made this work. In studio with us today, we're not going to even wait. We're not going to pretend. Damon Bell. Damon, one of our original co-hosts.
The time just rockets past.
I thought it was 5 years. It's 6 years.
6 years.
2019. Almost to the day.
Oh, yep.
Almost to the day. Also in studio, Jennifer Newman, editor-in-chief of Cars.com, our first guest ever.
I'm back.
You're back.
We just can't get rid of you. You're kind of like a bad penny.
Very true.
You know
Very
what's true. Crazy, though? Damon looks every minute 6 years older. You do not.
I credit that to retinol and hair dye. So
okay.
Yay for those.
Just for the record, I 100% feel 6 years.
I found out that if you just slowly gain weight, you don't wrinkle.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, you just sort of keep stretching.
But now you can't lose it.
And there's
I'm just going to put that out there for
and
you.
There's no side effects to that whatsoever. It's just all upside.
No, it's all good health.
Right.
It's all clean living.
Yep.
I still have my headphones on. I can take those off. Anyway, we're going to celebrate all 6 years. My wife sent a cake.
We thank Jill for the cake.
So that was nice. She doesn't listen to the podcast, so we don't really need to thank her.
I'm thanking her anyway.
All right.
I'm offering it up to the universe. I'm having gratitude.
My mother listens to the podcast.
Hi, Mom.
All right. We have things to do, and then I want to talk about the last 6 years a little bit. And I was looking through some stuff, and I've been taking notes for like a month to get ready for this, and it's been a crazy, crazy 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could not have been in this business at a weirder time.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there could have been the Chrysler bankruptcy way back when, during the Lee Iacocca days. That was kind of nutty.
I mean, the bailouts in 2008, maybe.
Speaking of which, someone today came up to me and asked me if I heard about the Stellantis bankruptcy. And I'm like, what? And like, you would think my phone would have been on fire with news notifications. And I went to Automotive News, and I went to the Chrysler website, and I don't know what that is. There are things worse at Stellantis that I...
That is fair. Like the recall of the Jeep 4xEs that are going on right now?
Yeah. Yeah. The whole tech pushback at Stellantis is interesting. 4xE not working. We don't need a six-cylinder engine. We'll go back to the Hemi. It's all a little frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one step forward, two steps back kind of thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, you guys have news.
Cars.com has news.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, I'm pointing
You're
to
pointing,
Jennifer.
You're pointing, and there is no visible here. And you know you shouldn't point. That's
no,
really
no, no,
rude.
I know, but if she'd answered super quick, I probably wouldn't have come off as dumb as it seemed. Jennifer, you guys have news.
We have lots of news. Yeah, I mean, one of the big things that we've been looking at, of course, is affordability, and we've been thinking about that.
You have been all over everything.
Well, it's a really important topic.
Yeah, I heard you on Autoline. Or no, I'm sorry.
Automotive.
Daily Drive.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've been talking about it with pretty much anybody who will listen to me. So, also, you know, I don't know that my spouse is listening either. So, if it makes you feel any better. But one of the things that, you know, we've really focused on this last year is affordability and really trying to help car shoppers find those affordable vehicles, mm-hmm. given just some of the difficulties that I think everyone is experiencing, inflation, higher interest rates, things like that. And so one of the pieces we've published recently is our best new cars for $30K. So that is us helping a little bit to guide those shoppers.
The list is interesting. I just went shopping with my daughter for a car. Mm. So, and that was around our target price. Like, we didn't want to pay a lot more than it. We ended up paying 32, I think.
Well, that's not bad.
With
I
stuff.
Feel like all in, that's reasonable. Yeah.
But what, so you had mentioned wanting to hit that price point. Is that kind of the key to affordability? Like, there's not a lot else you can do, right? Like, stretching payments is a terrible idea.
Yeah, yes. I know. It is. It is a really bad idea. I understand why people need to do it because, you know, cars are a need. They're not a want. For most, for many people, they need it. They need it to go to their jobs. There's, they have to have it. And so they're thinking about those monthly payments and what they can afford. You, I think this room, everybody in this room, we know you need to really think about the total cost of the car and thinking about how long that loan is going to be. But unfortunately, for some people, that is not reality. And so they've got to think about the monthly payment, and stretching it out is what makes it possible.
Do you guys have a price calculator?
We do.
Okay.
Yes.
How do people find that? Because people should do exactly what you said. It's not just about monthly payments. You want to figure out how long you're paying for them and what you're paying for. Yeah. And the other thing that's happening, and I wanted to ask you about this, it just occurred to me today. If you stretch your payments out 6 years, God forbid 7 years, right, we're hearing about 84-month loans and stuff. The other bad thing that happens is, one, you can't trade in your car because you're underwater on it for more time. But the other bad thing is you're starting to hit the maintenance years.
Mm. Yeah.
So you have a car that was your new car. You haven't traded it in yet. You're the first owner, and you're starting to pay for stuff.
Yeah, that is so true. That's a great point. I think people forget about that. You know, at some point, the warranties do run out, even when you have generous warranties. And so, you're going to start paying. Not only are you making a car payment, but then you're also paying to fix, you know, hopefully small things, but sometimes bigger things too.
And the maintenance things that happen when you get past 3, 4, 5 years are bigger and more expensive.
Often, right? I mean, I've had cars that have just been sailing along for, my personal cars that have been sailing along for years, and other cars where after a while you're thinking, this is costing me more than I'm willing to pay, and it's time to trade it in. But to your point, Tom, we can't, you know, if you're underwater, then it's not going to make sense for you. So, it's a tough spot to be in. So, yes, I mean, you can easily find lists of cheap cars, and you can find that on cars.com, right? We've got quite a few articles that are outlining, and we update them frequently, the cheapest cars that are out there. This recommendation list is a little bit different because we started looking at the average price on cars.com because we wanted to really think about what the shoppers are going to find when they go to the dealership lots.
More of a real world figure.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think the other part of it, too, is we thought about safety ratings. So we eliminated those vehicles that have poor crash test ratings from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. That just rolls off the tongue. And we also wanted to make sure that these cars were available in cars.com's inventory, because a lot of times you see these base trims and you think, okay, this is what I can afford. I'm going to go make that purchase. They're hard to find.
It's vaporware.
Exactly.
The base model doesn't actually exist.
Mm-hmm. You may remember, Damon, when we worked together way back when at Consumer Guide, that Infiniti was the first car company to start packaging its vehicles for online sales. And there was a base, what was it called, the G35 at the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That car was not available without a package. But they advertised it without a package, and at the time it came in at like $29,995.
Right.
Without a package.
But that car didn't exist.
It literally didn't exist. You couldn't build one that way. Someone want to walk us through this list?
Sure. I've got it right in front of me.
That's handy.
The point I would like to make, too, is so this is best new cars for $30,000 or less. I'm old enough that $30,000 doesn't sound that cheap to me.
No, I know.
What's the average transaction price?
It's like more than $50,000.
Yes. So this is $20,000 below the average transaction price.
And that is the bad news, too. And I don't mean to cut you off, but just an interesting story and something that's happening now, too, is because of the tariffs, and no manufacturer is exactly admitting this, but because of the tariffs, we're seeing base models disappear.
Yeah.
Last week, we talked about the BRZ. For 2026, they're killing a base model of that. The Toyota Highlander, their smaller of their midsize crossovers, base model goes away for 2026, raising the price of that a lot.
Dealer fees are starting to go up, too.
Yeah, and then they're sneaking in destination fees that are raising, so it doesn't look like they're raising sticker prices. But anyway.
Yeah.
The one, so, yeah, I've got, well, I'll just run through the list. One thing is you're not going to get a ton of space under 30K. Like, we kind of top out at compact SUV. But again, like, compact SUV, one of the most popular, if not the most popular segment. So, yeah, I'll just start at the top. Best subcompact car under 30K, the Nissan Versa, 2025 Nissan Versa. Best compact car, 2026 Honda Civic.
Sure.
Best compact hatchback. This is one of my personal favorites, the 2025 Kia Soul.
We worked with people that bought Souls.
Yes.
Like, especially, they keep coming into our offices like, what do you think of the Soul? We're like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And
it was kind of an easy choice.
And at this point, if you're enamored with the Soul, you better act fast. 2025, sadly, in my book, is the last year for the Kia Soul.
The Nissan Versa is on the bubble, too.
Is it?
Yeah, that I just read that it may not happen as a 2026, which is a bummer because that is such a good value.
So I just was with Nissan, and somebody specifically asked if Versa was going away, and they said no.
They said
no?
Okay.
I mean,
Word's on the street that it's going away, so I'm sure they're going to keep asking.
Yeah.
And it's a zero-profit vehicle for them. It's super affordable.
The best compact hybrid, 2025 Toyota Corolla Hybrid. Best midsize car, 2025 Hyundai Sonata. Mm-hmm. Best subcompact SUV, 2026 Hyundai Kona. And finally, the best compact SUV, 2026 Chevrolet Equinox.
And I think we were off air when you noted that that's just the front. You can't get an all-wheel drive for
that
money.
Yeah, in all of these cases, we are not talking top trim levels. You know, these are kind of base or a couple steps up from entry-level vehicles. But even at those lesser trims, a lot of these come with decent amounts of standard equipment. I think the Equinox that we – the trim that we centered on has – a heated steering wheel, heated seats. So
nice.
There are very few vehicles that are completely stripped these days, and these all have probably, I mean, they don't have everything under the sun, but there's probably more standard equipment in these than you might expect.
It was about 8 weeks ago, but when my daughter and I were shopping, we drove we wanted to drive the Hyundai Kona, and we did drive the Kia Seltos, which they're mechanically similar, but there were no Konas in the Chicagoland area. None.
Yeah.
Wow.
2025 was sold out. And I'm wondering, if not just popular, but I'm wondering if for tariff reasons, there's not a lot of money to be made on these, if the supply of some of these might be a little thin this year.
Yeah.
Which would suck, because these are all great picks.
Yeah.
The Equinox is roomy. That's like a you or I fit in that thing. Damon is very tall, by the way.
Yes, I'm 6 foot six.
And I'm very wide.
I think, you know, most of these vehicles I fit well in, including the Nissan Versa. All of these I have good space in. Of all of these, the Hyundai Sonata might be the tightest on headroom for me because it's kind of got that swoopy roof line.
Corolla might be the smallest door opening. It's an issue for me.
Yeah.
But you get in a hybrid there. Under 30K.
Right.
So that's good news.
Yeah, and a nice one, too. Yeah,
and that's going to get you 50 miles per gallon driven correctly.
For sure.
So that's a big deal.
I have fond memories. Speaking of space, I have very fond memories of the Kia Soul. When that was redesigned in 2020, when it was new, I took it on a family vacation in the Lake Tahoe area. I fit my family of four
in
our luggage
tall.
For the week. Well, the boys were like 5 and 7 at the time.
They're still taller than me, I think.
Actually, yeah, they probably both are now, but at the time they weren't. But again, family of four, luggage for the week, we squeezed everything into that Soul, and it was not uncomfortable. We didn't have a whole lot of room to spare, but it worked just fine.
Best subcompact SUV, you've got the Kona, and that's hard to argue. Did you guys think about the kicks at all?
Again, our ceiling was 30K, and we felt, you know, we were picking the best. We deliberated on a lot of these. I think there was some pretty strong debate on Honda Accord versus Hyundai Sonata.
Sure.
And I think we landed on just the Sonata's features for the money, kind of gave it the edge. Again, when you're talking about price being a primary factor.
Also, point. I started to cut you off there. At this price point, and if you're struggling to get into that vehicle, you want as much stuff as you can get,
right?
Because you're going to have this car for a while.
Yes, and in my book, at least, again talking about space, The Kona is one of the most spacious of subcompact SUVs.
I enjoyed driving
and both for backseat space and cargo. So that definitely gave it the edge as well.
Weird thing about the Kicks was that when we were shopping, that nice car, great interior design.
Stylish, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot to like there. Really weak on power, even though it's got a bigger engine for 2025. But the other thing is that if there's some key features, you have to get the top trim level to get. One of them is the heated steering wheel. And my daughter really wanted a heated steering wheel. You have to get the top trim level that includes the glass roof, and then you're comfortably over 30.
Yeah.
I think you're like hitting 32, 33.
And I don't like panorama.
Oh, you're weird.
I'm not a sunroof guy.
Like, actually, they have no appeal to my daughter either. And I don't know if that's a young person thing or it just seems like an extravagance.
Yeah.
That's a long way from like T-bar roofs.
I'm indifferent about them. Like, if they're there, great. If they're not, like, I never open them.
Yeah, me neither. And all again,
right, you got to have a vote too.
So I like a panoramic, but I don't like a sunroof, moonroof. I don't ever. So I have one car that has a panoramic, and my other car has a sunroof. And I never open my sunroof because I feel like the glare comes down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm really particular. It comes down through my sunglasses, and then I don't like it.
I had an 84 Sunbird, 84 Pontiac Sunbird that we purchased new. And the sunroof never fit into the gasket.
Oh.
And you could tell looking at the car that the sunroof was literally a different contour than the roof.
Uh-huh.
And the eventual fix was a new gasket that stuck out like a quarter inch on each side. You're like, oh, this is nasty. But it was a pop-out sunroof. So you could either snip it up like 2 inches and have it like that, or you could remove it entirely and put it in a bag in the trunk. But it just sucked if you were driving around and start to drizzle. Like, oh, God. Then you had to pull over. Get in the trunk, take the sunroof out of the bag, and then single-handedly, you know, you're one person, try to get a glass sunroof over the roof without scratching the roof.
No.
You know, I kind of lost interest in sunroofs in 1984.
Yeah. And again, like 6'6" guy talking, a lot of times the housing around the sunroof steals an inch and a half of precious headroom.
precious
headroom. And yeah, that's not good for tall folks.
Oh, man. Speaking of affordable cars, did you guys look at all like first-time financing additionally being a problem? Like, does that even compound the cost issues?
We really haven't dug into the financing question so much. I think just because it can vary so much from shopper to shopper, so that's not something we've dug into yet. Who knows? We might get there, though.
There was a very strange thing that Auto Week used to do. And when I say used to, I mean like in the 80s.
Okay.
But they used to do a car review. And one of the things they would do was project its value forward based on, and then take what you putting 20% down, making regular payments on the car they tested exactly at that price. And they would calculate when you would have 20% equity in the car. And this was theoretically the date that you could go trade in the car. And if you bought a car that was exactly the same price, you would have a down payment.
Huh.
You would have the 20% down required for a loan without paying a surcharge or penalty on the loan. And it's weird because no one thinks like that anymore. And even then, that seemed like it was this complicated chart. And I'm like, what the hell? And I'm kind of good with numbers. I'm like, what is this chart? But it was usually comfortably into the ownership of the car.
Yeah, yeah.
Like more than 2-3 years
before
you could trade it in.
Well, I mean, you know, who knows? I don't know. I think... We know people are holding on to their vehicles longer, right? So I'm not even sure. When do people start to trade those vehicles in? I think they're, honestly, you kind of want to hang on to it for at least past 5 years.
Some people get itchy, though. They'll do it the minute they can.
That's true. That's a good point.
Where can we find this chart?
This whole article is on our site. In fact, if you go to the news section, it's kind of the banner lead article to click on there, but if you go to cars.com/news.
Yeah, cool. People should check that out. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the last 6 years.
That's a big conversation.
All right, we'll be right back.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She's Joe. She's Jennifer Newman of Cars.com, and he is Damon Bell of Cars.com. You guys, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
I can't believe how fast time flies. It's weird, but 6 years have gone by.
Yeah.
And it's been the craziest 6 years, I think, in the auto industry in our lifetimes. maybe there was the Chrysler bankruptcy under Lee Iacocca. That was crazy. There was the big bankruptcies 10 years ago. That was during our, actually during our tenure.
Yeah.
The Great Recession and stuff, but like the tariffs and stuff, it's crazy.
Yeah, was it Mary Barra who said the auto industry is going to change more in the next 5 years than it's changed in the last 50? It was something along those lines. Like,
I'm already off topic, but Mary Barra is a huge, I think, symbol of that change. When she got to General Motors, and she was going to be a scapegoat, mm-hmm. if people remember the ignition key scandal. Oh, yeah. And that was a big scandal, and it was a big mess up by GM, but they had the problem with the ignition keys. They were breaking.
That was with the cobalts, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And the problem was that they would break in the key, and the car couldn't be turned off. And one of the issues with it was that, for some reason, the old parts and the new parts had the same part number, so they didn't even know if the parts had been replaced, mm-hmm. and it was a mess. And she got through that, and then she started, and I never mean this as an insult, thinking like a woman. And no one at General Motors had ever done that before, because General Motors had been entirely conquest, right? Market share, sales, and geography.
Growth.
Yeah, just big, big, big. And they were in Australia, and they were in China, and they were South Africa, and they were in Russia. And like, General Motors was everywhere. And she just cut all the Western Europe. And she just cut all the unprofitable stuff. She went crazy. And they're not about market share anymore. And they're not about being one of the three biggest companies, because they're not. I think they're down to like 6 million cars. And they've never been more profitable. Well, pre-tariff. Like, everything's messy now.
Yeah, I was going to say, nobody's profitable right now, I don't
think. But
that's
a really new, crazy way to run a company.
Yeah.
Like, General Motors had never been run like that before. And their cars are better than they've been maybe since I've been writing about cars.
Mm.
I mentioned off air that I just driven the Escalade IQ, the Cadillac Escalade IQ, the electric Escalade. It's really impressive. Mm-hmm. But anyway, enough of me. I just wanted to kind of get a handle on what you guys thought were the biggest stories of the last few years, maybe the weirdest ones to work around, the ones you didn't want to write about.
I feel like this is such a... There's no way we're going to get through everything here.
No, no.
But I did...
We have cake to eat.
Yeah, we do have cake to eat. I posted it in my stories.
I did some due diligence leading up to this. I'm like, well, I'm gonna take some notes. I'm gonna write some thoughts down and be prepared. Like,
and then you forgot those
for the first time ever. No.
You stopped at a bar and left the notes on the bar.
But you, one of the things you had is you said most significant, craziest events. And the first thing I wrote, which I don't think is gonna surprise anybody, COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
COVID was crazy to me just because of the resilience of the retail side of the industry. Everything should have collapsed, and everything collapsed a little. Sales mm-hmm. fell a lot. But even before we got to the chip shortage thing, dealers were dealing with this, and they were selling cars.
Yeah.
It was kind of crazy. It should have been crazier than it was. Meanwhile, we were getting test cars that were wrapped in toilet paper.
Yes, and had alcohol wipes in the center console, and yeah.
But think about, I mean, speaking of the dealers and their resiliency, you have to remember the way they continued to pivot and pivot and pivot through every hurdle that was put in mm-hmm. front of them. And, you know, not only helping to serve how they service cars, but how they sold cars, how they were using, you know, technology like FaceTime or, you know, digital, you know.
Yes,
basically
scheduling.
Zooms, you know, Zoom meetings or whatever to do essentially walkthroughs with customers.
Yeah.
You know, it really, I think it shows, it's a good reminder, especially as the automotive industry is dealing with things like tariffs and lots of other question marks, just how nimble this industry can be, essentially.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because we had, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, because they used VR to do their, like,
yes,
design meetings.
That's what I was thinking of. Well, do you remember the Cadillac virtual showroom?
Yes.
They would have a good-looking, dressed to the nines person with basically a smartphone mm-hmm. camera and, like, hey, here's the new...
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean...
There's so much COVID stuff that it
changed.
Part of it was, like, the trauma of COVID.
Right.
I think everyone's repressed a lot of things, but it's like, oh, yeah, there was a time when... There were virtual showroom visits and you know, all these things that...
And it just changed the way I think we in general operate, but especially how the automotive industry could operate, which was kind of cool. You know, from the like using VR to design, collaborate together, to the virtual showrooms, mm-hmm. to the Zoom meetings. You know, the over Zoom meetings.
it really turbocharged technological adoption.
Yeah, yeah,
and I mean, there was no choice.
Like, we actually ourselves, since we couldn't go into the studio during COVID, we were doing like a Zoom version, or I forget even what they called it.
Clean feed.
Yeah. And then we had like a chat going because we couldn't see each other. And it was like, hey, I want to talk here.
And the chat
Let
was
me in.
Delayed.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm raising my hand here. I want
to
talk.
I apologize to our listeners during that era.
Yeah. And thank you for sticking with us if you were there with us during that era.
And I blame me the most. I was constantly stepping in other people's feet when we were trying to talk.
Well, you still constantly step on everybody's feet.
But now I do it
I'm
on
just
purpose.
Gonna put, yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. At least yours.
Yeah. Thanks.
Your tiny, tiny little feet.
Can you even reach them?
No.
I don't think you can. You try to step on my feet?
You guys are going to start kicking each other under the table here. Let's
That's
just
true.
Move on.
That's
can
true.
You even reach them? That might have been our first ever fat joke, and it's a good one.
I didn't intend it as a fat
one other thing before we barrel past the topic of COVID, which it seems like we're pretty close to doing. Think about the things that like seemed like, oh, this is just around the corner in late 2019, and COVID just obliterated.
Wiped it
and
out.
The thing I'm thinking of, car sharing. Remember Cadillac?
I wrote down
car
sharing.
Did you write that down?
Yes. Yeah.
Maven.
Oh, my gosh.
You see? And I like,
I forgot about Maven. That was General Motors, right?
I forgot about all these
things.
Yeah,
that was GM.
Wasn't Link and Co.?
Link and Co.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Well, you spelled it right, too.
L-Y-N-K.
From my own notes, I spelled it right. Yeah. That's not like, you know I don't spell. No, I actually wanted to just got on this Link and Co., which was presented to us. And I'm trying to remember if they had an auto show appearance or not. But Lincoln Co. was a Chinese company, I think even at the time owned by Geely. And it was going to be Volvo-related products, a little bit like Polestar is now. But the whole deal was going to be subscription-based.
Yeah.
So you were going to subscribe to your Lincoln Co. car. And you and I have talked about the myth of subscription services because at first, a subscription was everything. You would subscribe, and every month you could change your car.
Yep.
This was the crazy idealized world of a subscription car. So you would get a car, and they would cover the cost of insurance, maintenance, all that stuff. You were just paying one monthly fee, and you could swap your car out. And Cadillac tried it, and Porsche tried it, and I think Mercedes-Benz tried it. I think all three of them tried it big time in New York.
Right.
And like Manhattan, I think because of the compact.
I feel like Hyundai might have even tried it down in Florida or something with their EVs. But there were a lot of companies that were trying it.
And then Volvo did it. And like, oh, yeah, we sold out our subscriptions, but they wouldn't tell us how many that was.
Five.
So it may have been six.
Yeah.
Pilot program.
But the whole thing just didn't work. And there was a bunch of barriers to it. And one of it was, what's a new car? And after 10 people have subscribed to a car for a month and got it a little bit greasy, they had to clean it, you know, and it's all of a sudden it's got 10,000 miles on it. It's like, do you still... Can you subscribe? Is that a used car?
Yeah.
You take it out of the subscription? Cool. But that never happened. But ride sharing. Yeah, I'm going to buy a car and just let other people drive it, and they're going to leave $5 on the seat. Right. What was that?
Yeah.
That was weird. But we were confusing ride sharing and ride hailing at the time. Those are the things that I thought of. Like,
rolling into 2020, this idea that traditional car ownership could possibly become a thing of the past, man, just... COVID killed that notion. And maybe as we get further away from it, it might come back. I guess there's still, upsides to it. And again, the average consumer is more open to the idea of subscription-based things. So, yeah.
Well, and I think one thing that COVID did help usher in was Uber and Lyft. Because, especially being in Chicago, like I take public transportation all the time. I don't have a personal car. My husband has a car that we share. And then I get test cars, but I love to take public transportation. I love to take the L. I love to take the bus. I love to people watch. And I can get anywhere I need to go because I live at a major intersection. I'm like a couple blocks from the Blue Line. I'm like a block from three different bus lines. And so I love public transportation. But during COVID, nobody wanted to take it. And so everybody was doing like Uber or Lyft to get to the airport or to get to wherever they wanted to go.
I remember this about Chicago too. Chicago was enjoying like elevated before COVID, in elevated use of public transportation for a while.
Yep.
And COVID quashed that.
Just killed it. So, I mean, I think that was one thing that COVID really helped to usher in was it solidified Uber and Lyft, because I think they were still kind of on shaky ground at that point. You know, people were still, you know, especially people of a certain age were still invested in like taxi cabs and, you know, hailing a cab and things like that. But like the whole app services and being able to get the car to come to you, like,
Wherever you're at,
mm-hmm. and you can just put a pin on it, and then the car comes to you. I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, I think that was coming regardless, but I think it came faster because of COVID.
I want to get Jennifer's input, but I just thought of something when you're talking about a car coming to any place.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any three words?
Yes.
No.
Yes. I think I just deleted it off my phone.
Was that like the abbreviated NAV?
It was some sort of super pinpoint navigation system that was more accurate than address, or it was supposed to be. And literally every single location on the planet could be identified using just three words. And it could literally be like cheese, gym shoe, you know,
Leno. You would have way too much fun with that.
Yeah. I don't know what came of that, though.
I think it's still around. And I think there was a use for it because, you know, if you are in places that don't have an address, right? Like you're on
GPS location. Come on.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But anyway, so
longitude and latitude.
I think it's still around. I don't think it's gone away. I know it's off my phone though.
I've got a friend that lives in McHenry County, and his address is it's like the Chicago Automobile Trade Association does not have a conventional address.
Yes.
That absolutely confounds navigation systems. But like lots of McHenry County is just these really weird west and north numbers. You're like Mm-hmm. And the navigation system will not help you. So I don't know if the three names thing was going to get better with that. I don't know.
Your three words would be Mukwas, Montalban, Salami.
I was going to say Cordoba, but you know.
I would have chose pretty much those.
Yeah.
I might have substituted Gunsmoke for Salami.
Okay.
But definitely Montalban.
Yes.
So what do you think was a big event of the...
Well, I couldn't get over the pandemic as well, but for me it was the chip shortage.
And I wrote that down.
Sorry to bring this down a little bit. Wah, wah. But you know, just thinking about the chip shortage and the difficulties of navigating that, the impact, the long-lasting mm-hmm. impact that it's had on new cars, but also on used cars.
Yeah.
Prices are up, and I think we can point it directly to that shortage.
I have a question for you about the chip shortage.
Okay.
And cars.com, and I don't know if you guys are dealing with this or anyone is dealing with this, but there are now vehicles coming up used that don't have some features.
Yeah.
That's right.
That might have been expected.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, like General Motors built a lot of V8s without cylinder deactivation during the chip shortage.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the fuel economy took a hit. I think it was one full combined number mm-hmm. because of that. And I don't know, are consumers aware of that? Is anyone tracking that?
I don't know that anybody is tracking it. I know we reported on it during COVID and when this was becoming an issue, and this and removing some of those features was how the automakers were bringing cars to market because remember how tight the new car supply became as well.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
It just one thing after another. So I think that's a great call out for used car shoppers is to really go through. You always need to be, you have to pay attention to the vehicle, right? You've got to do your homework. You've got to do your research. And so having those sort of deeper conversations and making sure that you're really
getting the features that you think you're getting.
Exactly.
You don't even need to know that you don't have cylinder deactivation. You just need to do your research on the car. And you can do a check on the EPA.
Yeah.
Right? And just see what your car got then. And just know if that number works for you.
Those things were even called out on the window stickers.
Yep.
Like Maroni's, like, you know. And there was probably something where, hey, we, you know, you can bring this back in when the chip shortage is past us. Mm-hmm. And we'll put that, you know, feature back in. I don't know how much that
Not. But there were like so many features. It wasn't just cylinder deactivation.
No,
I think
that
there
was
like
just the biggest one.
Seats, and
the one
heated seats,
that's what I remember too.
There was HD radio. There was, I think, even auto stop start. No brakes. They kept the brakes. But the emergency brake, maybe that went. But like I think auto stop start on some vehicles ended up going away. And I was like, amen. Let's make this for real.
I vaguely remember a BMW 3 Series test car that was all decked, like most vehicles that are in a press fleet optioned up pretty well. This one had leather upholstery, all the kind of nice stuff, and then manual driver's seat.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I think there was even a note on the Monroney, like, you know, delete for chip shortage or something.
I drove a Silverado during that period, and there was something that there was a $50 credit for. And I can't remember what it was. And I'm like, I want way more than $50 for this.
Yeah, it was probably the cylinder deactivation. And it's just like, this is worth way more than $50.
It is, and it worked. It's one of the few systems that worked really well. I just, people we interviewed in the last few years, the folks from BrightDrop.
Yeah.
Womp, womp, womp.
No more.
Yeah.
Nikola.
Yeah.
More whopping. We didn't interview these people, but Jaguar seems to be more abundant. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, they don't talk to anybody, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, not worried about that. I did forget to thank these guests that we had that made extra effort to be here. Henry Ford, Paul McCartney, the Coen brothers, and Barry Manilow. Just
yeah,
a
so
big shout-out.
If you
and
missed
what the
those,
heck, Ricardo Montalban.
And yeah, if you missed those episodes, be sure to go back and listen to everything. Yeah. Started episode one.
Spend a lot of time on the Consumer Guide website looking for those episodes.
Yeah. Right.
I read a few articles.
Some of them
there.
Had to be conducted via Medium, but yeah, it's just part of it.
Well, you know, Tom's a medium, an empath. So.
I'm an empath, that's right. Oh, man. Two things I wanted to talk about. If you guys remember, right before COVID, like 1 minute before COVID, Ford launched the F-150 Lightning. Huge event. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they had 200,000 hand raisers.
Yep.
How the hell did that go so wrong?
Part of
the problem was COVID, actually. I think part of the problem actually was COVID.
I mean, part of it was COVID,
it was
but
a
I think
huge buzz
part code. Of it is they just didn't have their SHIT together, and they put out a vehicle that wasn't ready for prime time.
Well, the other thing, too, and the car was going to start at $40,000.
Well, it was going to start at $40,000. It was supposed to have 320 miles of range, but only had 160 miles of range in cold weather. I mean, they just didn't.
And you have to charge. They didn't mention anything about paying for the big battery.
And it was like only 150, I think, kilowatt hours for charging. It wasn't like a fast, like the ultra fast, like the Hyundai vehicles. I mean, there were just so many little things that they missed.
That was the other thing I wanted to talk about. I have had, and I'm way too happy about this, and I don't think my journalistic eyes are entirely clear. I've had four fantastic Electrify America experiences in a row.
What?
Like this. Like perfect, fast. Everything about them, except they were expensive.
Mm. What you talking about, Willis?
58 cents a kilowatt hour.
I think you're lying.
No. It's specifically Electrify America.
Okay. Okay.
Now there's one not like 2 minutes from here. It's a 10-unit thing, and it's been fantastic.
Okay.
So I'm an EV owner. And we did a family road trip from Chicago to Boston in our EV this summer.
Oh.
And I meant to post about this, and I haven't. I should probably, there's a lot
so
I need to post about.
So exclusive information right here, folks.
Exactly.
So Chicago to Boston.
Chicago to
How
Boston.
How many miles is that?
I think it was over 1,000.
Each way?
On the way out, we stayed in the U.S. On the way back, we came through Canada. So on the way out, we didn't have any issues. No, every single charger we stopped at, easy, quick. Mm. The majority were EA. I think we used a Mercedes charger out in Western Mass, I believe. But didn't have an issue at all. It was easy breezy. I couldn't believe it. It was huge. And going to the, thinking about the Lightning, Ford's Lightning, I think the other issue with that vehicle is the infrastructure wasn't there yet, right?
Mm-mm.
So, you know, you're asking consumers to make, I think a lot of the early EV owners, such as myself, a lot of us were willing to make
The sacrifices to
make it work, right? Mm-hmm. When you start with a pickup truck, there's a lot of utility there that's needed.
Yep.
I'm not sure that those owners were willing to quite make those, you know, those trade-offs. Mm-hmm. And then that public infrastructure was a huge missing component, I think.
Yeah.
So for us, I'm happy to report, you know, this summer it was great. I will say we just did a quick trip to Kalamazoo to see my youngest son. And we did run into one problem at an EA charging station that we always go to, and that the whole thing was taken down. We pulled up and it was but it's fine. We were able to drive another 20 miles. It's not a big deal.
When you went to Boston, you said everything went great going there?
Yeah. On the way home, it was a little more exciting in Canada. We had a harder time finding chargers that would work. And so we managed to, I think that we stopped to charge. We couldn't get it to work. It was something that we hadn't heard of before. And what we ended up doing is we found a hotel that had charging, and we've got the last charging spot, so we were able to charge overnight and then get back into the U.S.
Which is a nice thing, and I know a lot of, like, not budget, but, like, just over budget hotels have a bank of level 2 chargers for overnight
that's
charging.
Exactly it. And so, and that was actually key as well on our trip both ways, is we, you know, I'm on my little app trying to find a hotel and was looking specifically for hotels with EV chargers. That helped.
We have to break, but I want to ask you something, just follow up on something. You were kind of a pioneer in installing home charging.
Yeah.
And yours was really complicated.
Yes, it was.
How has that been working?
Well, that's a great question. So, I don't know if we have time. Yes, just for the listeners, I live in a townhouse in Chicago. My parking spot is in the alley. It is on the opposite end of our townhouse row. So it was about $4,500 to install our EV charger. We had to trench through the neighbor's yard. I have great neighbors. We just replaced our charging unit because we had what was a juice box. They went bankrupt. Somebody else bought them. We were having problems getting our juice box online. So we ended up getting a wall box installed and used ComEd rebates to do that. The hitch is we need to update our 2022 Ioniq 5. We got to take it in for service because we cannot charge at home right now. Something happened. There must have been some update.
Like a software update.
And we are now having problems charging. We can only fast charge. So.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Me too.
When you guys did that stuff, I thought it was so cool that you guys were experimenting with this and doing that. And I remember yours was just like a crazy project.
Oh yeah, it was involved a lot of coordination and a lot of talking to my great neighbors. And I'm glad we did it because ultimately, I think that's so important to be able to speak to consumers about the variety and pricing when it comes to installing an EV charger. Right? We know that affordable vehicles right now are used EVs. So, okay, go get a used EV, but actually, how are we going to charge it? Yeah. What's realistic for you? And so, you know, we want to be thoughtful about the guidance we're giving shoppers.
You mentioned affordable EVs, and one of the things that makes me sad is that there is a lot of Tesla Model 3s and Model Ys out there used that are shockingly affordable, $25,000-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're good cars. They're proven. They've been on the road for, you know, there's millions of them out there globally. But people won't now look at them for political reasons. And that's a shame because it's a really great way
to... There's a bumper sticker for that.
Yep, there is. But it's a great way to dip your toe into the EV world for not a lot of money with a car that's probably not going to be troublesome.
Yeah.
That has great access to a great network. Anyway, we're going to take a break. And when we come back...
Quiz time.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
Hi, it's Brendan from Sons of Speed. You've heard me and my colleague Paul on the Car Stuff podcast whenever Jill's out of town. But now you can hear us every week on the We Are Motor Driven podcast, along with Jennifer from Auto Exotica and Harvey from Rides and Drives. We talk about everything from sports cars to trucks to EVs and our favorite, speed. So join us each week by searching We Are Motor Driven wherever you get your favorite podcast.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom Appel. She's Jill Simonello. He is Damon Bell of Cars.com and Jennifer Newman of Cars.com. Thank you guys for being here.
Oh, thanks for having us.
And I know we covered it, but Damon was one of the first hosts of the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. Jennifer was our very first guest. And we talked about car seats. Now, you don't care about kids anymore, right? Is that?
Yeah, I'm over it.
Yeah.
Still right. Care. Still
you know what I'm going to do real quick? We've got about 15 minutes to do the quiz, but I've got my thank you list. So I'm going through my thank you list real quick, okay?
Okay.
You just rush me along.
I will rush you along because this means that I can't stall during the quiz.
Right.
So go.
Yeah. All right. Steve and Johnny.
Yes.
All right. They've been a guest. They've been helping us promote the Chicago late night radio legends.
Yes.
They're awesome. And they're responsible for our opening.
Yes.
And bumper music. All right. Sam Fiorani, our favorite guest.
Yes.
Sam, you're awesome. A lot of people don't know this. Sam has jumped in so many times when a guest dropped out.
Yeah.
We never want to mention that because we are so glad to have Sam here.
Yes.
But he's been super flexible, and he's always great to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Paul and Brendan, our co-hosts, our emergency step-in co-hosts.
The emergency Jill got called away.
Yeah. Check out the We Are Motor Driven podcast.
Yes.
It's great. My good friend Nick DiGilio, that guy has been relentlessly and senselessly promoting the podcast.
Yay.
Thank you. He's joining us in a couple of weeks because he's got a new book. So that's called Patty Vasquez, host of Driving It Home with Patty Vasquez and WCPT. I'm on her show all the time, and she promotes the podcast. She's great. John Hanson, John Williams, and Lisa Dent of WGN Radio, thank you for promoting the podcast. Thank you for having me on the show. The guys at Drive Chicago, Mark and Jim, you're on their show all the time.
Yep.
I'm on their show all the time. They're awesome. Producer Paul and Lady B at WCPT, our first producers.
Yep.
Producer Randy, thank you very much. We were just talking about how good the sound quality is here.
Yes.
The show sounds fantastic. My old friend Stan Milam, WCLO Radio in Janesville. He retired, but I used to do a show every Friday. I used to be standing. On Fridays after lunch, I'd lock my door. I go, damn it, I'm standing.
So don't bug me.
Don't bug me. And I do an hour every week on that station. That was great. Robert Colangelo of Green Sense Radio. We were always doing each other's show. He's going to be joining us
soon.
Probably this year.
Yes.
Still, we'll probably get that in. All of our great guests. And then my old boss, Lou, who talked me into this. It's funny because he came into my office one day and he's like, should we have a podcast? And I'm like, probably. And he goes, look into that.
Well, and you and I had been talking about it before that. Yeah. And so the fact that he would pay for it was like amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So lots of people to thank. If I didn't thank you directly, thank you to all of our guests, all the people we've worked with. It's been a lot of fun. And thank you, Jill. I relentlessly mock you. And,
you do.
And you're pretty good about that. Not great about it.
Yeah. My mom likes you, so I have to.
There you
know,
go.
Yeah. And thank you, Tom, for keeping this going all this time.
My pleasure. It's been fun.
It has been fun.
You know what's crazy, too? Now in year three, we don't even need to get
year
guests.
Six?
Like, no, but people.
We're year six, not year three.
Year six. 300. Yeah.
Like, it's been a lot longer than 3 years.
That is the senility.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
But people do approach us all the time about being on the show now.
They do. And I do want to point out, because I occasionally get comments that people are like, I don't think you and Tom even like each other. And I'm like, no, we do. We actually like each other.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. No. We're great friends off air.
Uh-huh.
All right, it's quiz time.
Yes.
All right. This is quiz 300, except it's not. We've skipped some quizzes in there. But today's topic is, who said it?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
This is going to... Okay, I'm going to make a prediction right now. Damon wins.
Trillion dollar Elon or Edsel's dad?
Okay.
So I just need you to tell me if it was Elon Musk or Henry Ford who
Got
said
it.
The following.
Okay.
We'll start with our guests. Jennifer, you go first.
Oh, no.
Who said it?
Yep.
Quality means doing it right when no one is looking.
Ford.
I'm going to say Ford.
The other option was Elon?
Elon Musk. Henry Ford.
That feels 100% like Ford.
It was Ford. You all three get points.
Woo!
One, two, three. Jennifer, Jill, Damon.
Oh, you're not going to be able to keep track of that. That's adorable.
Great. That's great. No. Now you and I can win no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
Use Jay's.
Oh, yeah. No.
That way.
J I and J E.
Oh, this went terrible.
Pear-shaped.
Jennifer,
totally
Jill,
pear-shaped.
Damon. Okay. And you all have one point.
Okay, that's better. Oh. Thank you.
All right, there is no cash prize, so don't worry about it too much. Since we're just going in that order now, Jill, I'm going with you.
Okay.
Life is too short for long-term grudges. No, life is too long for short-term grudges.
Life is too short for long-term grudges?
No, life...
What?
Again, I started drinking too early. Life is too long for short-term grudges.
I mean, that kind of sounds like Henry Ford. He seems like a grudge holder to me, but then so does Mr. Musk.
Ford was kind of a bastard.
Yeah. Life is too long for short-term grudges.
Mm-hmm, yeah, no pausing.
I'm going to go with Ford.
All right.
That's not really sage. It's like basically like, yeah, you need to cling to the bitterness for a long time.
It seems like terrible advice. Yeah, it's not
just
advice.
To mix things up, I'm going to say Musk. Said
All right.
That.
I also say Musk.
It was Musk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's Jennifer and Damon. Okay.
I have only one point.
We didn't really discuss the rules. There are five questions plus the bonus question.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
You need to win to win.
Yeah.
Because there's
more than one person.
All right. Third quote. This one goes to Damon. I usually describe myself as an engineer.
Hmm. I'm going to say Musk said that.
Also Musk.
Yeah, I think Musk.
It was Musk.
Hey.
All right, you all get points. That means that Jill is down by one. This is anyone's game. Question four. The factory is the machine that builds the machine. Musk or Edsel's dad?
I think that goes back
Ford.
To...
Yes.
It's Ford.
Yeah, Ford.
Elon, I will say Ford as well.
No, that was
no!
Elon.
No!
See, I was going to break
that
out
with
there.
A lot of confidence.
I was going to break out there.
But I mean, that sounds like something Ford would say.
It does.
All right, finally, this is you. Jill, you. I'm doing a lot of pointing today. And this
I know,
is,
that's very bad luck for you.
It's bad. When everything seems to be going against you, remember that an airplane takes off against the wind, not with it. Henry Ford, Elon Musk.
Why couldn't you bring up the everything is black quote? You can have any color you want as long as it's black.
That's questionable whether he actually said that, too.
Is it really?
Yeah. It is.
Play it against Sam.
Yeah.
read the quote again.
I will. When everything seems to be going against you, remember that an airplane takes off against the wind, not with it.
That sounds very optimistic. And I don't hear either that coming out, like optimism, like coming out of either one of their mouths.
Hmm.
It's very optimistic. Okay, so I'm probably not going to get this, but I'm gonna say Ford.
You're saying Ford, Damon?
I'm going to say Ford as well, because I was at the Henry Ford Museum this summer and realized that Henry Ford tried to have individual personal aircraft.
Oh.
That never got off the ground, no pun intended. But he would, I think, have been more aviation focused than Musk.
All right, so we got a Ford, and
I'm going to say Musk.
It was Ford.
Dang.
So that one goes to Damon and Jill. Oh, so the best any. Oh no, Damon has won.
Yeah,
congrats, Damon.
With four,
I predicted.
The bonus question. I'm breaking a rule.
Okay.
I'm doing the same bonus question 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, you're going to talk about the Hallmark?
Today's topic is even more Hallmark movies.
Oh.
Let's see. You went first. So you're going to go first now, Damon.
What was it? Frosted Frosty or whatever?
Yeah. Hot Frost.
Hot Frosty.
I need you to tell me.
That sounds vaguely off color.
Yeah, it does.
Kind of was.
Yeah.
Which is the real Hallmark movie? Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
All right. Crashing Through the Snow, Manhattan Yuletide Mix-Up, Holiday in Hamburg, or Mary Mazeltoff?
So which one is... Sorry, what is the...
You need to tell me which is the real Hallmark movie.
So only one of those is real.
Yeah, Crashing Through the Snow, Manhattan Yuletide Mix-Up, Holiday in Hamburg, or Mary Mazeltoff?
How do you spell Mary?
M-E-R-R-Y.
Okay, well,
that'd be weird. If
it was M-A-R-Y, yeah, I don't know.
That'd be a entirely different thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess Crashing Through the Snow.
Is the real one?
Yeah.
All right. Jennifer.
The Hamburg.
Holiday in Hamburg.
Holiday in Hamburg. Mm-hmm. And Jill?
You know what? I'm gonna go completely different. I'm going to go with the Manhattan Yuletide mix-up one.
Are you?
Yeah.
Crashing Through the Snow.
Was the actual one?
Yeah.
Oh, exclamation point.
Okay, so we know who really watches the Hallmark Channel. It is not the two ladies in the room.
I've never seen a Hallmark Christmas movie, but I've been told that they have very cute female actresses in them, and they often have, like, cool muscle cars and stuff. So just like a cartoon where they kind of pepper in, like, adult references, there's scraps thrown to whatever male watchers might be stuck sitting next to their significant other.
This is from a friend, right?
Actually, Don Secora told me this.
Wow.
Yes.
Throwing Don underneath the bus.
I don't think I can give up three episodes of Adam 12 for one Hallmark movie.
Have you seen one?
No.
But I
have seen Adam 12.
I appreciate that it's like they're all formula.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that they're like, hey, we need to put in a 69 Shelby GT500 to placate.
Which is nice.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Crashing Through the Snow, I have the IMDb description here. Are you ready?
Yep.
Maggie and Sam are crashing Christmas. When he proposes that they team up against his sister's perfect Christmas, neither is prepared for the blended family challenges that lie ahead.
Does it mention anything about a 69 Camaro?
It doesn't. And also, I don't see the thing here that would make me want to watch this.
Hmm.
Yeah. Unless Maggie, as you mentioned earlier, is cute, which is a thing.
I'm looking her up right now, and I mean, I think she's cute.
Is she?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
cute.
Was she ever in Adam 12?
Probably not. No, she probably looks not. Way too young for yeah. that. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless this is
I suppose for a young actress, a Hallmark movie is probably a notch or two above a soap opera. In terms of kind of...
Well, Kim Delaney got her start in soap operas.
Okay. Oh, and just breaking news, Crashing Through the Snow is going to be on the Hallmark Channel on Tuesday, December 2nd.
Okay.
Perfect.
Wow.
Appointment TV.
I mean, and
who
I
was that? Was that NBC?
By DVR? I can't remember.
Is that 4 a.m.? 4 Eastern, 3 Central? I don't understand that.
I don't understand that either.
Yeah, it says 4A.
I would watch that movie if it had this theme music that's playing right now.
All right, I'm going to go around the table real quick. Car you guys have driven in the last 5 years that you would buy yourself? Just real quick. I've got one ready and loaded.
Hyundai Veloster N.
All right.
With a stick shift.
Anybody?
Lucid Air.
There's one in the parking lot.
Oh, guess what? I'm driving home. Let's swap.
You don't want the... Yeah, I think you're in an EV9 right now, right?
I'm in my personal car.
Oh, got it. I saw the EV9 in the lot. You know, I would probably have to go with the Golf R with the manual, so 2024 model.
Mm. I have to. My wife and I talked about this. We might actually try to buy one at some point. This makes me very old. But I really want a Crown Signia. It's really good looking. The only thing it isn't is super nice inside. It's kind of a cheap interior.
I thought those were kind of... The Crown was a step above, like, a Camry in terms of interior materials.
I'm not sure.
I didn't love it. And by the way...
But the hybrid works really well in there.
I see a Crown Signia in my neighborhood every day when I am on my walk.
Is
and I
nice
think of
blue?
You. It's the red. That soul red. That was a quiz question. That was, like, the color they share with Mazda. That beautiful... But I think of you every time I pass it.
Did you know this, that the Mazda's signature color is it crystal soul red?
Soul red crystal.
Man, I got that exactly as wrong as you could get it.
Oh, you just got the words mixed up.
But they build that in Alabama. They build the CX-50 in Alabama.
Oh, so that's why, so at the same plant,
it's showing up on
Toyotas in that color, too. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, guess what we did?
We had a great conversation. That's what we did.
So thank you guys so much for being here. We appreciate it. 300 episodes. I don't think we'll celebrate 500. Maybe we will.
We will.
It's coming up so quick.
Be optimistic. Oh. I mean, I'll be here. Will you?
Jennifer, remind us how people can check out this stuff.
Head on over to cars.com/news to check out our latest expert reviews, videos, as well as consumer news.
Well, cool. Well, you guys, happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas.
Yes.
All right.
All the things.
All right. So big thanks to our guests today. Thank you, Jill. Thank you to producer Randy and the good folks here at TalkZone. And we will talk more about cars again.
Next week.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.